Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Carborundum Universal Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashwani Sharma. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Viren. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all for the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Carborundum Universal Limited. We thank the entire management of CUMI for giving us this opportunity again. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Managing Director; Mr. P. Padmanabhan, Chief Financial Officer; Mr. G. Chandramouli, Advisor and Investor Relations; and Mr. Dinesh Kumar, Senior Manager, Strategic Planning. So we'll start the call with opening remarks on the results and the outlook by the management. Post that, we can have the Q&A session. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Rangarajan for his opening remarks. Thank you, sir, and over to you.
Good morning. I'm Chandramouli. Let us start the proceeding with the disclaimer class. During the call, we may make certain statements which reflect our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are associated with uncertainties and risks are more fully detailed in our annual report, which may cause the actual result to differ. Hence, these statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mouli, and good morning to all of you. A very warm welcome to our third quarter and nine-month earnings call for the financial year FY24. I hope all of you are doing well and safe and healthy. In today's call, I have with me Mr. Padmanabhan, our CFO; Chandramouli, our Investor Relations; Mr. Dinesh, our Strategic Planning Head. We'll begin this call with providing an overview of the company's performance and nine months, and then open for your questions. Before I start sharing the business performance, I'm happy to share with you the news of CUMI just as the best-managed company in 2023 in India by Deloitte. They're running this program worldwide in and around 45 countries. Deloitte started this program in India 3 years back. This is an acknowledgment of good work done by Team CUMI over many decades. I'm very happy to share this great achievement by CUMI. I'll now start with the consolidated financial results. Consolidated sales for nine months of FY24 were 3,445 crores, making it about 0.8%. Could I request there's a hissing sound coming. Can you take the headphone off, please? Growing at 0.8%. Thank you. 0.8% contributed by ceramics, growing at 4.4%; abrasives growing at 3.2%; and electrominerals with a negative growth of 5.2%. Consolidated sales for Q3 FY24 were at 1,130 crores, with a sequential growth of 0.6% and a degrowth of 3.6% quarter-over-quarter. Growth in Q3 FY24 over Q3 FY23 was contributed by 3.1% growth in abrasives, degrowth of 7.9% in ceramics, and a degrowth of 10.6% in electrominerals. Q3 FY24 performance compared to Q2 FY24 was 0.6%, mainly contributed by ceramics segment degrown at 8.1%. It is important to bring the perspective of VAW here. VAW, our Russian subsidiary, on YTD basis represents 20% of the consolidated Cumi. VAW grew 25% in 9 months in ruble terms. However, when translated in INR, there is a degrowth of 9%. During the last year, on YTD basis, ruble was converted into INR at 1.27, and in FY24, on YTD basis, ruble is converted into INR at 0.92. Had the exchange rate remained the same, the overall growth of Cumi on YTD basis would have been 8% instead of 0.8%. We'll discuss this in detail later. PBIT for YTD FY24 is at 453.8 crores with a PBIT margin of 13.2% compared to PBIT of YTD FY23, which was at 383.8 crores at a PBIT margin of 11.2%. This is a growth of 18.2%. This was contributed by abrasive growth, growing at 77.8%, ceramics growing at 13.6%, electrominerals with a degrowth of 11.7%. PBIT for Q3 FY24 was at 157.9 crores with a PBIT margin of 14%. Compared to PBIT for Q3 FY23, which was at 147.7 crores, with a PBIT margin of 12.6%. This represents a growth of 11.7% sequentially and 6.9% quarter over quarter. Profit after tax on YTD basis for FY24 was at 326.4 crores, growing at 7.9%, and profit after tax for Q3 FY24 was at rupees 111.3 crores, growing at 9.2% sequentially and 2% compared to Q3 FY23. I'll go standalone and then by segment. Standalone grew by 5% to 1,937 crores in 9 months of FY24 compared to last year. The growth was majorly driven by electrominerals at 7.2%, ceramic segment at 6%, abrasive segment at 3.8%. The growth in Q3 FY24 compared to Q3 FY23 is almost flat at 635 crores and compared to Q2 FY24 there was a degrowth of 1.4%. PBIT on YTD basis was rupees 343 crores with a PBIT margin of 17.77%, which grew at 14.2% compared to PBIT of last year at rupees 300 crores with a PBIT margin of 16.3%. The growth in PBIT margin came from abrasives, which grew at 31.7%, ceramics, which grew at 10.3%, and the fall from electrominerals by 29.7%. Q3 FY24 PBIT was rupees 110.2 crores, PBIT margin of 17.4%, which grew at 7.3% compared to Q3 FY23, and sequentially there was a degrowth of 0.4%. Profit after tax on YTD basis was 256.1 crores. This is an increase of 18.1% compared to FY23. Profit after tax for Q3 FY24 was at 80.15 crores, resulting in a 10.9% growth compared to Q3 FY23 and 3.2% degrowth compared to Q2 FY24. I'll now move on to segments. Abrasives. Abrasives consolidated revenue on YTD basis was 1,558 crores, growing at 3.2% compared to last year. If VAW's impact is considered, the growth should have been at 5.8%. Abrasives consolidated revenue for the quarter grew 3.6% sequentially to 529 crores and 3.1% quarter over quarter. On YTD basis, standalone abrasives was 858 crores and grew by 3.8% compared to last year. Standalone abrasives grew by 3.2% to 291 crores quarter over quarter and 1.9% sequentially. VAW on abrasive segment. On YTD basis, sales grew by 24% in ruble terms. However, in INR, this resulted in a decrease of 9%. During the 9 months, FY23, the ruble was converted at 1.27 last year, and this year is getting converted at 0.92. Rhodius in Q3 achieved a net sales of 15.5 million euro compared to 14.9 million euro in Q3 FY23 and 15.2 million euro in Q2 of the current year. On YTD basis, the sales grew by 2% to 46.2 million from 47.2 million during the last year. Due to softening of the demands in parts of the Europe, there was a drop in volume to an extent of 8%, while the mix and price enabled a 6% gain, resulting in a net drop of 2%. On YTD basis, the loss after tax at 2.1 million against the loss of 3.4 million during the last year. This means losses are coming down. We told earlier during our last earnings call that at full year basis, a similar loss as that of the last year is what we expect. However, considering the better performance in Q3 and the positive outlook for Q4, we may lower the losses than earlier expected. The interesting point to note here is that if we exclude the PPA write-off of 2.1 million on YTD basis, Rhodius was close to break-even operationally. Awuko. Coming to Awuko's performance this quarter, we achieved 2.3 million sales against 1.9 million in Q2 of the current year and 2.2 million in Q3 of the last year. Loss after tax in Q3 was 0.27 million against the loss of 1.36 million in Q3 of FY23. And 0.86 million in Q2 of the current year. On YTD basis, we achieved 6.6 million sales, which is 3% lower compared to last year, and losses at 1.86 million compared to 2.42 million during the last year. As communicated earlier, we expect the losses in FY24 will be around 2.5 million. We expect Awuko to break even by FY25. We maintain the same outlook. In America, we had a good growth, I think close to a double-digit growth that we have. Standalone abrasives, on YTD basis, we have grown 3.8% to 858 crores compared to last year. Industrial and precision segment had a good growth. Retail segment is below last year. As communicated earlier, retail segment is impacted due to dumping from China and competition from new entrants. We are working on addressing these challenges and expect recovery in 4 to 6 quarters. On YTD basis, the margin has improved significantly to 16.4% compared to 12.9% during the last year, mainly on account of product mix, softening in input costs, improvement in operational efficiencies, and better realization. Consolidated abrasives PBIT on YTD basis was at 118 crores compared to 67 crores, resulting in margin improvement from 4.4% to 7.6%. This was mainly due to better performance in standalone, which we just covered, Rhodius and Awuko, we also looked at it slightly earlier. Q3 FY24 PBIT was 50 crores against 21 crores in Q3 of the last year and 37 crores in the Q2 of the last year. The increase predominantly coming from standalone margin moving from 12.9% to 16.4%, and lower losses at Rhodius and Nauco. I'll now move on to Electro Minerals. Electro Minerals on a consolidated basis for 9 months, FY24 had a sales of 1,164 crores compared to ₹1,228 crores during the last year. Electro Minerals consolidated revenue for the quarter was ₹369 crores versus 377 crores in Q2 of the current year, resulting in a decrease of 2.4%, and it degrew 10.6% quarter over quarter. Now I'll move to the standalone Electro Minerals. For 9 months of FY24, we had 562 crores, and it grew by 7.2% compared to last year. The revenue for the quarter was 172 crores versus 173 crores in Q3 of the last year, and degrew 10.6% sequentially. On YTD basis, the volume growth in aluminas was very high teens, and SIC double digit has been good, but price realization was hit largely due to the dumping by Chinese product. Price realization was hit almost by 9%. Hence, we could not get the benefit of increased volume in sales. Our focus will continue to secure volumes. We expect the short-term price pressure to continue. VAW, now I will cover the performance of VAW sales for Q3 FY24. In local currency, it grew by 26% to ruble 2.47 billion compared to Q3 FY23, and degrew by 2% compared to Q2 of the current financial year. On YTD basis, sales grew by 25% to ruble 7.4 billion, 19% due to mix, exchange and price realization, and 6% because of the volume. The operations are running well, and there has been an increase in sales volumes compared to last year. When converted to INR, the story looks different and shows downward performance because of the stronger ruble during the last year, where it was 1 ruble equivalent to 1.27 on an average for the first 9 months, whereas it has become much weaker at 0.92 this year. They delivered a profit of 392 million ruble in Q3 FY24 against ruble 411 million during the same period last year. On YTD basis, profit increased to ruble 1.2 billion compared to 890 million during the last year. Capacity utilization is very good. They are able to sell more in Russia. The mix is now moving to 58% domestic, which used to be 45% pre-Russia-Ukraine conflict. Foskor Zirconia, on YTD basis, Foskor had lower sales of 23% compared to last year. This is a volume reduction. This is mainly on account of postponement of offtake by three top customers and price pressure from Chinese supplies. Sales in Q3 FY24 had improved compared to Q2. We expect Q4 to be better. We expect Q4 to be normal, and we are working towards improving the sales volume and expect a normal business in FY25. We are confident of achieving this one. Orders backlog that we hold as of now for Q4 tells us that it will be a normal Q4. Overall, Electro Minerals on YTD basis, PBIT was 186 crores compared to 210 crores compared to last year. This is a degrowth of 11.7%. This is due to the impact of 25 crores in standalone and 17 crores in Foskor Zirconia. We will cover this more in detail later. For the quarter, PBIT at consolidated level was 50 crores against rupees 62 crores in Q2 of the current year and 82 crores in Q3 of the last financial year. I'll move to ceramics. Consolidated ceramics on YTD basis for FY24 grew by 2.4% to 795 crores. In Q3 FY24, sales of ceramics was rupees 243 crores against rupees 264 crores in Q3 FY23 and rupees 265 crores in Q2 FY24. Standalone ceramics and YTD basis, it grew by 6% to 661 crores compared to 623 crores during the last year. The refractory, ware ceramics, and metallized cylinder business grew around 22% on YTD basis, but with the degrowth of engineered ceramics business, the overall ceramic business segment resulted in a 6% growth. In Q3 FY24, sales of ceramic was at 213 crores against 219 crores in Q3 FY23 and 217 crores in Q2 FY24. Subsidiaries in Australia and America registered a very good growth. Profit before finance costs and tax at consolidated level on YTD basis was rupees 215 crores, growing at 13.6% compared to last year. Q3 FY24 PBIT was 60 crores, a degrowth of 9.4% compared to Q3 FY24 and a degrowth of 18.5% compared to Q2 FY24 at consolidated level. The PBIT margin has improved from 24.8% to 27% on YTD basis. All companies in this segment contributed to margin improvement. Now I request Mr. Padmanabhan to cover PBIT margin, debt position, capex, cash flow and return on capital employed. Thank you.
Thank you. In respect of the PBIT margin at consolidated level on YTD basis, it is at 13.2% in the current year compared to 11.2% during last year. This is mainly due to the better performance in abrasives and ceramics. PBIT margin for Q3 FY24 was at 14% compared to 12.6% in Q3 of FY23 and 12.6% in Q2 of current year. Standalone on YTD basis, standalone PBIT margin is at 17.7% in the current year compared to 16.3% during last year. This is majorly driven by abrasives from 12.9% to 16.4%. Then ceramics from 24.6 to 25.6%. But there is a drop in electromineral segment from 16.1 to 10.5%. PBIT margin for the quarter improved from 16.2% in Q3 of last year to 17.4% in the current year and improved by 17 bps sequentially. I'll move on to the segments. In respect of the abrasive segments, on YTD basis, consolidated PBIT margins improved from 4.4% to 7.6%, mainly contributed by standalone abrasive business. Margins increasing from 12.9% to 16.4% and losses coming down in the German entities Rhodius and Abuco. At consolidated level, PBIT margins for the quarter improved from 4% in Q3 of last year to 9.5% in Q3 of the current year, also improved by 221 basis points sequentially. This was due to the increase in margins of standalone business from 14.2% in Q3 of last year to 17.2% in Q3 of the current year. This is on back of the better realizations and improved operational efficiencies. Standalone's abrasive margins improved by 50 basis points sequentially as well. In respect of electrominerals, on YTD basis, at consolidated level, PBIT margins has decreased from 17.1% during last year to 16% in the current financial year. This drop is a result of standalone business and the South African subsidiary's performance. The margins of standalone business dropped from 16.1% to 10.5%. On year-to-date basis, volume growth in aluminas and silicon carbide has been good. However, price realizations were lower due to dumping by the Chinese producers. This has resulted in drop in PBIT to the extent of around 25 crores. PBIT margins at consolidated level for Q3 of current year was at 13.7%, dropping from PBIT margin of 20% in Q3 of last year. Sequentially, it dropped by 264 basis points.
The margins of standalone business dropped from 15.5% in Q3 of last year to 7.8% in Q3 of the current year and 410 basis points sequentially. The drop in margins is mainly due to the lower price realization despite securing higher volumes. In respect of the ceramic segments, on YTD basis, consolidated PBIT margins improved from 24.8% to 27%. This is mainly contributed by standalone ceramics business margins increasing from 24.6 to 25.6. American subsidiary did significantly well compared to last year. At consolidated level, PBIT margins for the quarter dropped from 25.1% in Q3 of last year to 24.7% in Q3 of the current year and dropped by 314 basis points sequentially. The margins of the standalone business dropped from 25.1 in Q3 of last year to 23.7 in the current Q3 and by 259 basis points sequentially. This is mainly on account of the mix between the industrial ceramics and refractories and product mix within the industrial ceramics. On the debt position, the standalone has no debt and it is a debt-free company now. And at the total debt at consolidated basis was at 119 crores compared to 140 crores as of September 2023. The debt-equity ratio was at 0.04 at consolidated level. Cash and cash equivalent net of borrowings was at 342 crores. On the capex spent so far at consolidated level is 154 crores. At a full year, the investment in capex program was 300 crores at the consolidated level as communicated earlier. We expect for the full year, we will be incurring around capex of around 240 to 260 crores. In respect of cash flow, our free cash flow on year-to-date basis during the current year at consolidated level is at 75% of PAT compared to a negative 33% of PAT during last year. At standalone level, it is at 80% of the PAT compared to 10% of PAT during last year. This improvement is mainly on account of the significantly higher net cash inflow from operations and better working capital management compared to last year. In respect of the return on capital employed, on a YTD basis at a consolidated level, it is at 18.3% compared to 15.8% during last year. At standalone level, it is at 20.5% compared to 18.3% in last year. On year-on-year basis, for consolidated businesses, return on capital employed for ceramics has improved from 38.3% to 46.5%. For electrominerals, it has decreased from 29.9 to 27.1. And for abrasives, it has improved from 6.6 to 11.4%. For standalone businesses, the return on capital employed for ceramics has improved from 42.5% to 51.4%. For abrasives, it has improved from 36.4 to 42.9. But for electrominerals, it has decreased from 38.2% to 27%. And in respect of the unallocable expenses, basically it is the difference between the income and the net at the other corporate level, which is not included in the respective segments. The unallocable expense at the YTD level, there is a reduction of 18.5 crores. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, there is a reduction of 19.5 crore. And sequentially, it was lowered by 27.38 crores. The broad reasons are withholding related to the dividends from our Russian subsidiary accounted in the current year, in the FY23, but not in the current year. That is why the difference is coming. And the second reason is higher exchange gain in the current year and lower project-related employee cost and the completion of the consultancy engagement in the last year itself. There is no expenditure, similar expenditure in the current year. In respect of the standalone also, there is the unallocable expenses, there is a reduction on YTD basis. The expense is lower by 17.91 crores. Similarly, quarter on quarter, the expenses are lower by 15.5 crores. And sequentially, the expenses are lower by 13.36 crores. In all the three cases, the broad reason are higher dividend income in the current period lower project employee costs, and completion of the professional engagement in the last year. And these are all the reasons why we reduction. I would now request Mr. Sridharan to summarize.
Thank you. I would like to end the opening remark with a small summary. In standalone business, volume and price growth is good in refractories, ceramics, industrial and precision abrasives. There's a good volume growth in core products in electro-mineral business, but price realization was impacted due to China dumping. Reasonable volume growth and strong price realization in Russia. South Africa was impacted by low order intake and partially by China dumping. We are confident in Q4 they would get back to normal sales. Rhodius would break even excluding PPA. Losses in Awuko are lowering. CUMI America and Australia are doing well. Free cash flow to PAT is good and the company is debt free. PBIT margin of Abrasive India has grown from 12.9% of the last year, and we expect this could go up by 350 to 400 basis points. PBIT margin of consolidated Abrasive will go up. Our expectation is 200 to 220 basis points. PBIT margin of ceramics in India was at 24.6%, and it could be at the same level as the last year. PBIT margin of consolidated ceramics from 24.4% of last year, there could be a pickup of 150 to 180 basis point. PBIT margin of EMD will go down from 14%. We expect at least in the range of 350 to 400 basis point it will be lower. Overall PBIT margin last year was 11.8%, could go up by 100 to 120 basis point. We feel standalone growth could be in the range of 5 to 6% as against what we communicated last time at 10 to 12%. And consolidated sales could be flattish or marginal growth against 5% what was earlier shared. This is largely an impact of the exchange impact coming from ruble. In summary, major parts of the business, volume and price growth is there. Margins are improving, good cash flows, recovery in Fasker is in place. Work needs to happen in Abrasives domestic business. Rhodius and Awuko is on track. With this, I will complete the opening remarks and will be happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thank you for the detailed opening remarks. So my first question is on ceramics. If I see, this quarter on both standalone and also on consolidated basis, there has been a decline in the revenues. I remember the previous quarter you had highlighted there was some inventory correction which was happening by the client. So just wanted to understand what is the status of that right now and, you know, how should we look at the ceramics business going forward, given that we are doing a lot of initiatives to grow the same. And also if you can talk about how metallized cylinders and some of the other wear and industrial ceramics are also performing out here. That's my first question.
Thank you, Bhumika. I think it's a good question and concern. And I think as we said earlier, it was one customer inventory correction that they were going through, which I think is what currently we are facing. That's why in my opening remark also we said, you know, there is a growth which is substantially high at about 22% in all other business segment of the ceramics and a degrowth in engineered ceramics, which caused the overall growth of 6%. We believe that once this correction, which I think would get addressed, by this year, we will get back to an overall growth of 20%+ as normal that we used to have in the past.
Okay, sir. So can we quantify what has been the decline in the in the engineered ceramics and in some manner, so that we get a sense of what has been the 22% kind of a growth? What is the base number that it can possibly decline to?
It's 22% is the growth in rest of the ceramic business.
Yes, sir.
Metallized cylinders, engineer, wire ceramics, those are the businesses which are growing at 22%, while this is having a degrowth. We expect this correction to get completed, and in the next year we will have overall growth of about 20%+.
Okay. So, sir, the question is that, from a year into the fourth quarter, will there be a further decline in the ceramics revenues, you think, or is this quarter you think that this is the bottom and should not decline further from here?
I don't think we expect further decline. I think we are already have seen all the corrections, etc., so it should be fine. And I don't think we would get back to any further challenges coming in.
Understood. So the other question is on the EMD segment. You said and spoke about the Chinese competition and the dumping, which is impacting pricing both in India as also in Africa. That's been a fairly weak, couple of quarters out there because of this aspect. Are we seeing, further reduction in prices out here? Or if you can just give some trend on how the SIC prices are trending and how are we trying to contain this so that our profitability doesn't decline on an overall basis?
Yeah, so I think we have, first of all, good volume growth, both in aluminas as well as in silicon carbide. Our aim is to definitely secure volumes, and we don't want to lose, any opportunity. That is, we are very clear. But the unusual price dumping is what is causing the current problem, and that is how the margins of the electromineral is going down. But I expect that, as a business, they have probably bottomed out. But I am not saying that, Chinese are going to stop further dumping. We expect this trend to continue maybe for the next, 4 to 6 quarters. We need to wait and watch.
Hmm.
Largely, this is not a situation that we are seeing only in India. We are seeing this across the globe. And I'm sure you guys notice this across industries as well. It is just not in our industry. So that's why I said that the price pressure will continue. We feel that we have bottomed out. There could be some minor change, but I don't think it will go any further down. And I think last year we ended at 14% PBIT margin, and this year we could end in the range of about 10%. And if you look at the Q3, we were lower because there are some mixed play also is there, but I think 10 to 12% is something we should expect.
Okay. And on the war side, sir, because obviously there's been also a further impact on the consolidated basis because of the ruble translation. So how should we look on in terms of war revenues growing? I mean, they have obviously done very well, as you mentioned, almost a 26% kind of growth for the current quarter in ruble terms. How should we look on consolidated basis for war to continue doing well? And any update on both in war and in India on the specialty bit, which can offset some bit of this impact of the Chinese dumping?
So as far as VAW is concerned, the company is doing fine, and I think they are having both volume and price growth. I expect, see, the conversion rate of last year was abnormal. Conversion rate of this year is not abnormal. This year, it is in the range of 0.992, in that range. Normally, if you have observed the last 5 years, we will be in the range of 0.9-1. This is the normal trend as far as conversion of ruble to INR is concerned. Last year, you must have noticed that when the oil prices were going up, Russian ruble had the benefit, and then they had really kind of shot up. That is why it went up to as high as about 1.27 or even as high as 1.3. So hence, we had the benefit of higher conversion in last year, which is not forthcoming this year.
Yes, sir.
So
That part on the translation bit, I understand. I was asking more in terms of ruble terms, if this performance that we've seen is sustainable or not.
Yes.
Actually,
right. I think ruble terms at 10% to 12% growth is sustainable. What they have grown 23% now, there's certain element of these type of benefits getting passed on. But I think a 10% to 12% growth should be expected.
Right. So, sir, on a consolidated basis, one should, because of this whole translation impact plus the China dumping that is happening in the other markets, one should kind of build in a kind of a, even for FY25, because, this pain might continue for some time. Would it be fair to say that we should look at a single-digit kind of a growth and, a 12-odd%, 10-12% margin profile on a consolidated basis?
Are you talking margin profile or a growth profile?
So, for FY25, if one were to build in like a single-digit growth on consolidated revenues and a margin profile of 12-odd%, would that be fair, or you think there is some upside out there?
Look, I think this year, my guess is that we could end around 12.5% plus, 12.5% to 12.8% type of the growth that we could end. And at the same time, we also had losses this year from Foskor, and we also had some challenges forthcoming because of issues in AWUKO, progressing in terms of the recovery, etc., and the losses in AWUKO and RHODIUS to further come down. So if I look at it, I feel that these are losses that would go away, and probably we will be in a better wicket. Those are the additional upsides that one needs to consider. As far as the growth is concerned, I will probably come and share with you more when we meet in April or May.
Sure. So I'll come back in the question queue for other skills. I have more questions there. I'll come back in the question queue, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vithlani from SBI Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, Sridharan and the team. Good performance, especially on the bottom line front. So I have a few questions. When we acquired the German companies, at that time, we had outlined a path to double-digit EBIT margins. So the question here is the same I had asked previously, is do you believe that those level of margins are achievable? Are the timelines that we anticipated are same changing while we are moving in the same direction? And qualitatively, if you could talk about what makes you believe that from a loss to a break even, we could get to a double-digit margin level. That's the first question. Second is, if I look at the standalone abrasives as a segment, is then after the first quarter of 23, fiscal year 23, prior to that, we were clocking high teens growth rate. The underlying growth rate has nosedived to low single digit, sub 5%. And you alluded to some competitive pressures, especially in the thin wheels segment, while we have seen the margins going up. So if you could talk qualitatively on the standalone abrasive segment, it seems that the margin expansion is driven by the mix change towards a higher share of bonded, which is a better margin segment. And how do you see this growth rates coming back? The efforts that the company has been taking underway, last time you mentioned that there is a lot of effort being taken to kind of take the growth rate up to double digit or mid-teen. So if you could kind of talk about this. Last bit is, you in the previous participant's question, you did kind of allude, but if you could talk about the green energy segment, the hydrogen, where in the previous instances we have mentioned that as the customer moves to version 1 to version 2, there could be an intermittent stuff, but there is a significant increase in the content for QMI. Consequently, there could be a geometric growth from an arithmetic growth. So if you could talk more about it qualitatively, and that you said that next year the growth rate for the segment as a whole can jump to 20%, and how does that lead to profitability? These are my three questions.
Thank you, Bhavanji. I think first let me take the Rhodius question. So we said that we would take 5 years to get back to you know, the double digit PBIT margin. And we feel confident of that trajectory. So what is happening in the current context is that, one, Europe is going through, you know, demand challenges, which I think you all know and you are all seeing in across many industries. Plus, Germany especially went through a huge cost pressure, particularly coming from the energy. And similarly on the other raw materials, which are all now slowly coming to, you know, get back to normal, except energy cost, which is still on the higher side. So, but for these two blips that they have to face, I think once these things get addressed, we are still confident that, you know, we'll get back to the trajectory that we were sharing at the time of acquisition. In fact, the integration and the work that we are all doing is really good, because there are a lot of projects that we are working closely in terms of. Electro-mineral supplies to Rhodius has significantly increased. Similarly, we are able to work closely on various technology projects that we could work together on the thin wheel area, which I think probably we'll share more in the next, say, 18 months, 24 months as we start making use of it. To your second question, which is largely on the ceramic side. Abrasives, sir. Let me go to abrasives standalone. Abrasives standalone, I think, so we look at the abrasives standalone in three broad segments. abrasives that goes to the industrial application, and precision abrasives and abrasives that goes to the retail segment. The first two segments are growing well, and we think that that growth rate should really pick up and we should be able to put our acts together well. As far as retail, the challenge is we are below last year, and that is what is pulling us down. And we have putting, a set of various action in terms of retail initiatives. And that is why I said that we will take about 4 to 6 quarters to put our acts together to get back to the normal growth rate of abrasives that we used to have. So I won't call that just as a demand challenges or competition challenges, etc. I think majorly is an internal challenge that we need to start addressing. Definitely there is a challenge of Chinese dumping and the price pressure that we are facing. So that is definitely not there. But besides that, we clearly face the challenge of our own internal challenges, which I think we will work and put together in the next 4 to 6 quarters. As far as the ceramics goes, you were talking about hydrogen-based ceramics. I think perhaps you are talking about ceramics that goes into hydrogen economy. Perhaps that's what I am inferring from your comment. So we are working with certain customers who are in the field of solid oxide fuel cell manufacturers. They use the similar technology for the hydrogen, and they are using our product, testing, bringing their own products, etc. So we will get to that. I'm not sure about your comment of geometrical progression. If there is some impression like this, I would probably ask you to take that away. And we will get back to you once we have clarity in terms of how the product gets established. And then we will, but definitely our products is getting used, tested by them. We will share more as we establish our product.
Just to follow up on the last bit, in our previous discussion, we understand a content, like in auto, we say content per vehicle. Is the content per SOFC for carburetor going up for that product, and that itself can lead to the significant growth for the segment as a whole? As you are guiding 20% growth for the segment, is in itself a substantial growth.
Yeah, I mean, we used to be more than 20% growth. It's just one customer correction is where this challenge has happened. But I think the ones that is addressed, but we are also putting together a program where how do we address such a thing not to affect us in future. There are 10 different initiatives you're working on to counter that. So, considering all that, I am saying that we will get back to the 20% growth trajectory.
Great, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bhavan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on our ceramic segment. So could you give a flavor on the exports that we do from this particular segment? So what would be the share of exports within, let's say, refractories? And similarly, what would be the share of exports within the wear ceramics, technical ceramics that we do? And over the past few years, have you seen any change in this mix between domestic to exports? Because I reckon since a lot of newer industries which are growing in India, let's say the renewable energy, a lot of new wind capacities coming on board, where we supply those nacelle covers. We do quite a lot of business into metallized cylinders as well. which go into the high voltage equipment. So since these kind of industries are growing, is there a case for domestic revenues to grow faster than the exports, or we will continue to grow faster on exports because we are acquiring new customers over there? So if you can give some idea about the exports within this segment, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Asit. I think, so as far as the mix change that you are asking, definitely as within the overall ceramics, industrial ceramics is highly export oriented. I would say 80%+ is exports, and that continues to be in that zone. I don't think any major change is happening. As far as refractory is probably 20% to 25%, but that is where the mix is changing. You know, there is more exports happening, and orders on industries where we have established, you know, in India, people are looking at using similar applications elsewhere. That is how the growth also is happening on the refractory side. So I think your observation of the demand for such products outside is a correct observation, and it is increasing more towards export.
Understood. Sure. So my second question is on VAW. So since you have mentioned the pricing is under pressure, especially in India with respect to the fused alumina business, have we seen the similar kind of pressure in the silicon carbide business as well at VAW, or because we are the largest producer of SiC over there and one of the lowest cost producers, we are still insulated from those kind of pressures? And given that you have mentioned that we could grow our revenues 10 to 12% in the ruble terms over there per annum, do we have sufficient capacity to grow, or we have already put in motion the expansion plans over there?
Yeah, I think as far as VAW is concerned, it's just not the price alone. I think the ability for them to work with the customer and application basis product allows them to be really competitive, both in terms of the lowest cost manufacturer as well as highly technically capable manufacturer. So these two factors allow them to compete, you know, in the market so well. And that is also the reason where we feel that this trend could continue.
Sir, in terms of any capex plans over there, apart from the usual debottlenecking that we do?
Yeah, I think we have the normal capex plan. Plus, I think the last couple of years we have added a few capacities more in the silicon carbide fusion capacity, which we shared earlier, is good enough to cover and address the growth rate that we are looking at.
Understood, sir. Just last one bookkeeping question. Could you quantify what was the sales and profits for Fosco Zirconia for the 9-month FY24? That would be my last question.
It's about 115 crores of sales and a 10 crores of loss.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the German subsidiaries. In the past, we did talked about you know, the energy cost contracts on the energy side will be terminating, and that can also lead to significant improvement in these subsidiaries. So any update on that? And second thing, despite the volume growth of volume decline of 8%.
Please repeat your question, sir. You are not that audible.
And audible now?
Yeah, better. Yeah.
Yeah. So my first question on the subsidiary, German subsidiary, just wanted to understand In previous quarters, you did talked about the energy contract getting terminated, the high cost energy contracts, and it'll be getting into the newer contracts. So any update on that? And second thing, despite volume growth this quarter in the subsidiaries, what exactly led to the performance improvement this quarter?
So I think thanks for your sharp remembering of this earlier comment. And yes, the contracts as they end, we get to the normal contract, and the normal one prices are at lower price, which is also is giving us the benefit. Why the better performance is, I think, see, we picked the cost increase and it is starts softening, and you might have noticed that the prices are coming down in terms of the commodities, as well as the energy cost is coming down. And these two helped us to bring this benefit in terms of lower losses. And they have also improved the mix, particularly in terms of the private label customers, that they could get more, and that is where it's helping them. Plus, the subsidiaries in Australia and America is doing very well, and because of the higher order intake in these two geographies. So it's a combination of all these factors helping them doing better.
So my second question on lot many companies announcing the semiconductor manufacturing, including L&T also did announce the fabless semiconductor facility which they will be putting up. So any sense on your business outlook or product basket, improving? Will this be incremental growth market which is going to come? Any assessment on this front for CUNY?
So I think the announcements so far we have seen are all on the silicon-based fab. So far we haven't seen any silicon carbide-based fab. So we'll wait if there are better opportunities for us.
Sure. So my last question on the Red Sea crisis, since you explained that the ceramics business is more than 80% exports, and overall we have subsidiaries and we're supplying raw materials to the German subsidiaries as well. So any impact of Red Sea crisis which you're sensing in medium to long term?
Yeah, so I think in the last quarter, there are some delays in shipment we are looking at, largely because of the container availability, those type of challenges. The other challenge is the, freight costs going up, shipping time going up. So it's the customers who are trying to get adjusted to this, how they would like to look at it. A lot of them are looking at how can they ship using Asia to get into U.S. And avoiding, this route at all. But all these takes customer by customer, as well as, their own challenges in terms of urgency versus costs, how do they balance, etc. But it is a concern, and we are working customer by customer.
Sure. So last question, if I can squeeze in, about the 22% growth which you mentioned in ceramics for the non-industrial, non-technical ceramics. Wanted to understand the technical ceramics contribution this quarter, if you can highlight.
We don't share individually these details.
Sure. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
So thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions have been answered. One is on once more on the Chinese dumping that we are seeing. So I mean, if we recall from 6-7 years ago, China had shut down many of the facilities which were there in the Northern Mongolia belt, and that had led to better realization across the world for electro minerals. Now this dumping is because are they opening up those facilities, or is it like what is happening over there? What is resulting in this dumping as over the past few quarters?
I think those days the Mongolia is largely a silicon carbide shutting down. You know, the is a story on that. Right now we face this primarily in the aluminas. And there is a pressure on the silicon carbide as well, but not to the extent of what we are facing it in the aluminas. So I'm not an expert on Chinese economy and difficult for me to comment, but I think what I see is there is definitely a pressure what we see from the Chinese economy. They want to sustain at whatever the cost, and hence they want to price it, which I don't know how they are getting compensated, etc., which is a very difficult thing for us to understand. But this is the reality.
Understood. And alumina would be what percentage of the electrominerals, sir?
Sorry?
Alumina would be what percentage of the electromineral business overall?
It's a significant percentage, really.
Understood, sir. And the second question is with respect to you commenting that we can grow the second segment, that is the refractories and ceramics business, by 20%. Is it going to come from overall market growth and we have products over there and that driving, or is it like new product introduction, our efforts into getting into newer markets? Can you explain some more on how that 20% would be achieved? Is it just pure category growth that is going to help us, or is it a bit of market share gains, new products and all these things?
The market itself is growing, and look at the history of us for the last 4-5 years. We have been doing this. So it's a market and a combination of products what we have done. And the third factor is that higher export, as one of the participants was also asking. Refractories, you know, we are able to get into newer geographies which we were never there. So these factors are giving us this feeling that we could do 20%.
And 20% growth is more of volume growth that we are talking about.
It's a combination of volume and price.
Got it, sir. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I would now like to hand over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you for all of your time. I hope we could answer all your questions. We tried our best in terms of putting up a decent opening remark with all your concerns that you may have. But I think I just like to summarize is that I feel that major parts of the business, volume and price growth is there. Margins are improving, good cash flows, and the return on capital employed is improving. Recovery in Foskor is in place, and Rhodius and AWUKO are on track. We need to put our acts together on domestic abrasives. These are some broad sense of a summary that I could share. Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.